On today's episode of the Empower Her podcast, I will be interviewing CEO, director, producer, and content creator for Primestone Media, Drika Siobhan. She has a plethora of experience working with the various companies, including Girl Scouts of America, the DNC, the news stations of Channel 12 in Jackson, Mississippi, as well as Memphis WMC Channel 5, and so much more.
Drika, how are you doing on today?
I am doing great. I am, despite everything that's going on, I am what you would call blessed and walking in purpose.
Put it. I had spoke a little bit about you previously, but could you inform the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm Drika Siobhan, writer, director, producer of Primestone Media, which is a faith-based multimedia production company.
Cool. That is really awesome. I'm thankful to have you on the show today. And I know you mentioned about, you know, you pretty much being behind the scenes, being a CEO, director, and creative. Could you kind of tell your background on, I guess, like, how did we get to Primestone Media?
You know, with producing and just the creative aspect, I wrote my very first book when I was in third grade. It was a horror film, actually, and it was called Savaged Heads. I don't know where the title came from, but my aunt still has that copy somewhere. I would sell those for like $10 to my family, and it was like 10-page book. But I went from that to my cousins. We would always write and just tell stories. And then I went on to doing music videos. In high school, I was the girl with the camera. Most people, when they saw me with a camera in my hand. And after I did that, I decided to go on into college, where I majored in film and marketing and worked for a couple of TV stations. But at the same time, I always had Primestone Media in the, I guess you could say, in the background of everything. Because I would always use my money and my funds from my jobs to buy equipment. So, yes, I worked at Clear Channel for a while. I was in sales there. And I would buy so much equipment. And then in 2007, I created my first feature. And that's when I changed the name of my company to Primestone Media. Well, 2003 is when I changed it to Primestone Media. In high school and through college, it was Tin Jam Productions. But Primestone Media, at the time, after I graduated and created my first feature, I felt that I was at my prime. And then I thought about, like, what would make something that cannot be, you know, moved? And I thought about a stone. So I came up with the name Primestone Media. And that's how that came about.
Wow. He said in third grade.
When I say I was just one of those people, I was telling stories and having and begging my cousins to put on wigs and dress up like characters. That was me.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. And then your family supported you by purchasing the $10 books, you know.
Yes. So. Yes, they did. And in high school, you know, also, like, even with the plays, you know, I always was behind the camera until it was a play that was touring around the state of Mississippi. And they came to Fayette, where I'm from, and they were looking for talent. And I auditioned and I got the lead role. And then from there, I was like, okay, I actually won. But that was my first time actually being in a stage play and audience. It was like a 2 or 3 day play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the name of it was?
It was based on, it was a faith-based play. And I can remember Donald McKirkland's song, "What Do You Do When You've Done All You Can?" And I think that was the name of it. What Do You Do?
Wow.
I've actually played a young girl who had let strangers into the home because I was being hot and fast. And the guys came and they threw a party and I ended up getting raped. Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's kind of like everything, you pretty much like manifested everything. Like everything kind of fell, I guess, what would you say, it kind of fell in place.
You know what? I guess I've never even thought about it, but sitting here talking to you and then talking about that play and realizing in that play I was a young girl who got raped, it does, it's like everything has kind of come full circle. It really has. Because now, that's my whole purpose, is to enlighten, educate, empower, and entertain. You know, bring awareness to issues specifically like sexual abuse and domestic violence.
So, listeners, you, as you hear it, as you constantly hear often, a lot of people's paths, you know, it kind of, it might sound crazy at a young age, you telling, you know, hey, I wrote a horror film in third grade and selling it to your family. And then next thing you know, boom.
right, exactly.
And writing and directing. So, you know, no dream is too small.
No dream is too small.
They're not at all.
I love that. No dream is too small.
Yes. So that's amazing. I mean, even like you said, even in high school, you got the lead part, you know, in the play. Well, one of the lead parts in the play. And
yeah.
And again, it still kind of came about years later, you're putting on productions and documentaries and things on major topics that are happening in our household. So.
Yes, because it's so much that's happening in our household, and everybody's turning a blind eye to it. So I think with film, it's my belief that with film, we're able to tell those stories and bring awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only way that we can expose abuse is to make it.
Yes. Domestic violence and I guess dating violence or things that's going on in our homes are very important to talk about. They're very important topics.
Right.
Which, you know, I guess, like you said, just how all of it is kind of turned into like full circle, which is great. You know, those are heavy topics and need to be discussed. And it's always nice to pretty much hear about the origins of one's passion. What do you believe truly drove your creativity that manifested throughout this journey? Of course, you mentioned about how in third grade you wrote a horror film, but like,
yeah,
what else kind of drove that creativity? I guess that kind of continued the process.
You know what? To be honest, for me, it's always just been passion. Passion has been the single thing that's driven me up to this point. But then the older I got, purpose started to creep in there. And then once you get passion and purpose, it's like you kind of feel like you have to do it. You know, I'm one of those people, I work 7 days a week. I feel like I have to do something that's in regards to storytelling, whether I'm writing on one of my scripts, whether I'm editing on something, whether I'm trying to develop one of my shows, I'm always doing something. So for me, it's all about passion and purpose. You know, I'll share this story with you. Last year, my dad found a picture of me when I was maybe 17 in high school with a camera. And he said, girl, you still got that camera. You still holding that camera. He said, it's been over 20 years. Most people will be retiring by now. And it hit me like, dog, I've really been operating a camera and working in this for a long time. And although I've gotten, I've gotten some accolades. I'm still not where I want to be or where I feel I will end. But with all of that being said, I do this no matter what, whether I make a lot or whether I make a little. It's the passion and the purpose of just wanting to share stories and bring awareness, you know, to issues that really drives me.
So it kind of, I guess, creativity is where your purpose and your passion lies. Like it's the, it's kind of like the collision of the two.
Exactly. Exactly. Creativity is exactly where my passion meets purpose. I love that.
Cool. And you know, I guess it's pretty interesting and almost kind of like-minded when you mentioned about how, like, years ago of you, like, your dad seeing what you were doing as a teen, and then you now in adulthood, and here you are actually doing, like, you're fulfilling your, you know, your exact dream.
Yeah.
So hopefully it is some people out there that's listening, you know, that's probably been like for years trying to make things happen. And like your dad said, they probably would have retired. This person probably have talked about quitting or giving up, but just for them to keep going.
Right.
And it could be something small, and it could just keep moving forward. So.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So, and like I mentioned, you know, that's really cool. Do you believe that your path can change throughout your life due to certain circumstances that may come by? Or is it just kind of like a bump in the road, or like, I guess, a stepping stone for some?
God, yes, I do believe that your path can definitely change. I mean, when we look at life, you know, what is life but a collection of experiences? So it's certain things that can happen that can either delay you, deter you, or drive you closer to, you know, that thing that you're pushing toward. I'll give you a story, another story. I always knew that I had a passion for telling stories. But when it came to my career and what I wanted to pursue career-wise, initially I thought I would be a doctor. And it was not until I got into my senior year in high school and we were doing our clinical rotations, because I was in an allied health course. And one of the things my teacher was trying to help me, but I guess it didn't, when we went to the funeral home and we were doing the tours there, and you know, you have to go into the clinic, you work there a little bit, you go to the funeral home. So they were showing us all of this stuff. And when my grandfather died, I always had a fear of dead people. So my teacher knew this. Everybody in the class knew this. And to help me, they said, we're going to help you with your phobia. They didn't tell me. But when we got to the room with the coffins, everybody's leaving out. I'm thinking I'm about to leave out too. Next thing I know, the lights go off. And everybody rushes out of the room. And I'm sitting there with my hands gripping over the door, just trying to pull the door open. And they're holding the door on the opposite side. And all I hear was like, it's nothing that dead people can do to you. You're going to get over this fear. And I'm locked in this dark room. And when I walked out of there, I told myself, nope, I don't want to see any cadavers in medical school. And there I changed my whole thing. And I went to school my freshman year undecided because I had a scholarship. And then my sophomore year, I went ahead and pursued communications. And then eventually, my junior year, I transferred to a school where I could get a degree in film. So, yeah. So I will definitely say those experiences can push you or deter you. So I don't say that's what I should have done. You know, I love film. You know, all of my friends, however, are doctors because we all, you know, grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
But I do, it's something about telling stories. Something about it.
Cool. That is, now that's a story to tell right there. Especially with the funeral home. I'm not too fond of, for me, I'm not too fond of blood. So I just knew that it just wasn't work. Like, I can't, I just can't do it. So,
you know, the blood and all that did not get me. I knew all my medical terminology. Girl, I thought I was ready. But you put a dead body over there? Oh, a coffin? Oh, gosh. Not moving.
I definitely understand that. But it seems like you're doing, you know, with communications and the media so well. So, you know.
Yes, I am. You know what? I guess that's the thing that pushed me toward my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could say that little incident pushed me toward it. Because, you know, God knows I probably, you know, if I had kept on that path, you know, who's going to stop? You know, you'll probably be working so many hours, you wouldn't have time to even think about it. Mm-hmm. But I love what I do. It's the one thing that I wake up in the morning and I'm excited to do. People who know me, they're always like, okay, they know I work 24/7. I love what I do. It's just, it's passion and it's purpose.
That's great. Like, that's, you know, a lot of times when talking to kids, you know, it's always mentioned about being passionate and, you know, finding your purpose. And sometimes that purpose may change from time to time. So, you know, to hear somebody that actually, it's kind of like in small doses, you saw what he had planned. It's just kind of get there. So, of course, you're in high school and you was like, you know, you was working with a camera, but at the same time, you know, you had dreams of going to medical school and being a doctor, but your true love was the media.
It was. So, always.
Which is really good, because a lot of times some people, I guess, it's the fine arts and the liberal arts are sometimes overlooked when it comes to college. So it's really good to hear somebody that's being successful, that is a African American woman and from Mississippi, that's in the media, that's not just Oprah. So that's a really great, great thing. Because, you know, seriously, a lot of people, when they first think of the media, and American women, nothing against Oprah. Oprah is amazing. But the first person they think of is Oprah. So, and it's just really good. Actually, you're like the third woman that I know of, this African American, that's like in the media, that's doing some amazing things.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm not sure if you heard of, I can't think of the, no, Wynonna Clayton.
No.
The Trump Sports.
Hmm. I'm going to have to look her up.
Yeah, she's from, I know she went to Tennessee State, but I had the honor of actually sitting in her office doing a pageant competition one time. Mm-hmm. And she is amazing. And I don't know why, but like sitting here talking to you, actually kind of puts me in like this mindset of like, because she was a great storyteller too. And it's just giving me like a little bit of deja vu a little bit. So
hey, I have to meet her. I'm definitely going to look her up after this.
She's awesome. So hey, you never know, you might, I know you're doing like a lot of like short films, you got a TV show. You never know.
Never know.
Maybe you a station, like a full studio. And
Yeah, most definitely. That's what our office right now is located in Jackson, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But the goal is eventually one day to have that studio.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've done it and got this far, hey, never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Consultant, so I get a chance to help other people set up studios and stuff. But in terms of me having pulled the trigger to have a full-fledged studio right now, mm-hmm. not there yet, but it's definitely coming.
Wow. Well, I look forward to it. We're going to put this in future tense.
Yes, yes.
That would be so awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because, like I mentioned earlier, just the youth, or just young people, or people in general, literally, when they think about the media, they don't really know too many, you know, people of color that have just studios. You know, everybody was like in awe last year about
Tyler. Oh, gosh. Girl, that studio and what he is doing is like simply amazing.
Yes.
I'm like, everybody should take a page from Tyler's book in that one, for sure. The way he's been able to create that studio and employ so many minorities and help tell, you know, it's amazing. And that's exactly what I hope to be able to do. That is exactly what I hope to do.
Yes, because I don't think people understand, like, it takes, you know, a lot of people fuss about, well, it's not any shows or it's not any movies or it's not any, you know, anything in the media or even print media that oftentimes represent us in the way we want to be represented. Well, it takes a person to actually put that forth.
That's true. And that's why it's so important for people to share their stories. I mean, I don't think that stories of rural areas of the South are being told authentically.
Mm-mm.
Need more people who will, you know, tell those stories. And there's so many voices out there. I mean, they should definitely be told.
Yes. Especially in Mississippi.
Especially in Mississippi.
Yes.
Everyone has roots to Mississippi.
Yes. In some type of way, or either next door in Louisiana, or either on the other side in Alabama, but somehow you still, somebody's meemaw or mama or
mama. Yeah, we have some people that have some lives that need to be shared and stories that need to be told right here in Mississippi.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, people, for some weird reason, they automatically assume everybody's barefoot. Even in the somewhat, like, because I'm from Jackson. And I know growing up, I want to say maybe high school. And this was like in 2009, 2010. People were still thinking we were barefoot. And I'm like, you guys, we have cars. Because I was at a competition. And I was like, we have cars.
We have cars.
We have clothes on. We're not barefoot. We're in Florida.
Thank you.
You know,
you know, I get to travel a lot. And a lot of times people will say, oh, you're from Mississippi? And I'm like, what did you think? We were all running around pregnant and barefoot. Like, I don't know where this is coming from. But like I said, though, that's because the stories have not been told authentically from people who are in the area. Most of the stories are just perceptions of what people view us as opposed to people who are actually experiencing living here.
Yes. Yes. And there are some, really brilliant people. Because, I don't know, I know Wikipedia might not be the best credible source sometimes.
Right.
But if anybody really want to know, very important and influential people that are from Mississippi, I mean, you could just look them up. I mean,
oh yeah.
And it might, in some cases, they were like lineages of people, because the first two people to come to mind, one is the Queen Aretha Franklin. Her father is from Mississippi.
What? Now, I didn't know that.
I think either her father or or either he attended Jackson State. I'm gonna have to, you know, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I pull it up too, but he has some lineage from here, as well as Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather father.
Wow, from Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
See, his daddy learned from Mississippi and taught Pretty Boy Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there it is.
So it, you know, people, I guess, like you mentioned, they just kind of undermine and think we're just like, oh, y'all just backwards and, you know, not educated.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of very educated people like yourself, and yeah. Oprah, of course, like we mentioned earlier. I believe the guy that, like, he's over, like, Red Lobster. I think, like, is it Darden Company? I think the mm-hmm. big CEO is from Mississippi. So
that's nice.
That's nice. And you know, everybody little cheddar biscuits.
Oh,
cheddar,
girl, baby. Tell me about the biscuits.
So, yeah, it's some very, very amazing people.
Mm.
So, like you said, we just need to get someone to really, and maybe this may be you.
Or you, to get both this. Of us. Yes.
Hey.
that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And to get these amazing stories and just people, you know, I guess it's kind of too, you know, we're so humble and hospitable. Yeah. So mm-hmm. a lot of times people don't want to be on the forefront because they're like, I love what everybody's doing, but I don't think I can do it. You know, just that
right.
whole humble.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But sometimes if you got an amazing story, because, you know, it needs to be told.
Needs to be told. You got to be bold, aggressive, and dynamic and just get it told. One of my mentors tells me that.
I'm going to have to use that. Restate that one again.
He always tells me to be bold, aggressive, and dynamic.
Okay. Y'all heard that, you guys. Be bold, aggressive, and dynamic.
Dynamic. Bad. Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
So, we're going to, in which we're continuously discussing a little bit about you and just this amazing, everything that you got going on. With storytelling and directing and producing, what do you think is like your favorite area or medium to cover? Because I know I guess your background, you work for the media.
I did.
What is your like favorite, I guess?
You know what? I'll tell you this. I'm very passionate about helping businesses grow. I love mm-hmm. But I would say if I had to choose, it would definitely be telling stories, writing features, writing shorts, basically mm-hmm. telling a narrative, sharing a narrative, how people experience life. There's nothing to me greater than having an idea, mm-hmm. writing that idea, that vision down, then having other people come together and bring that vision to life. And then to be able to look and see it become something tangible that you can actually watch. You know, to mm-hmm. me, it's no better feeling. I've never had a kid, but for me, I would probably say the joy I get from that is probably, it's a labor of love. Because mm-hmm. most stories, when you're telling the stories, they don't just come overnight. You know, you can't just write a script overnight. So you know, you're doing it for months and months, sometimes years and years and years, but you never give up. You keep on doing it. You keep on writing in the middle of the night, early in the morning. And the fact that you keep pushing and then eventually to see it come forth, to me, that's the greatest part. It brings life. You know, for me, creativity is life.
Wow. And it's like, pretty much you're talking like birthing a baby. You know, some people, call their projects or things that they're working on is like their baby. Yeah. Even though you didn't have a physical baby, your projects, your shorts, mm-hmm. your features, they're like your babies. So
exactly. Those are my babies. I love every last one of them. No matter how no matter how pretty or ugly they are, they're still my babies.
How many have you put together? Film features.
I've done quite a few. I've only done one feature. I've done several shorts. But in terms of the features that I've done personally, I've only done one feature. I have a couple that we're developing, and we plan to shoot. We had planned to shoot them this year, at least one of them. But unfortunately, you know, Corona came through. So we're not going to be mad about anything. We do have, you know, it is a project, The Perfect Mate, which stars Jack A. Harry, Lawrence Hilton Jacob, you know, and a couple of other actors. It's directed mm-hmm. and produced by Aaron Williams. And he's a magnificent, you know, director. And so I'm blessed on that project to be the director of photography. So I'm over the overall, you know, lighting and look of it. So that was amazing to come in and do that. And so, yeah, director of photography. And I'm also one of the co-producers on that one. So that's a great experience for me.
That is really awesome. So it's already out, or?
Actually, we filmed it last year. And it's actually in the final stages of production right now. Like, it's pretty much edited. He's doing his final, you know, they're doing some final polishing to it. And so when mm-hmm. they do that, it was supposed to have released, you know, last month between April and May. But unfortunately, you know, so right now it's just a waiting game. But I know once that one comes out, everyone's going to love it. It also had KD that played in Next Friday. You know, she was the pimp's girlfriend on that movie. So, it has a couple of really great actors that we can all remember and sharing some laughs with.
Wow. That's really, really cool. Like, really cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Wow. You, like, I guess, what was I going to ask? So, is it, like, because I know you mentioned, like, this film that's coming up, you mentioned your shorts. What are, like, I know, and also, too, we kind of talked a little bit about, I guess, themes of what pretty much goes on in our, like, in our households, or, you know, just the I guess, the deep-rooted things we don't like to discuss. Mm-hmm. Is there often a common theme in a lot of your work, or you kind of mold it, you know, as it kind of goes?
You know what? For me, it's all about my overall vision for my life. Mm-hmm. When I look at that, I want to be known as someone who helped to empower, enlighten, educate, mm-hmm. as well as entertain. So I look at the four P's. And so all mm-hmm. of my content, you know, kind of falls in line with that. I can say I am an advocate of, you know, for sexual abuse as well as domestic violence. And I have been married before also, so I can also talk and discuss, you know, experiences about relationships and then seeing how that has an effect on the family and all of that good stuff. So I'm all about just creating content that brings awareness and that can kind of help with some of the issues that we see plaguing our communities so that hopefully our children will be able to have a better, I guess you could say, a better life in a way mm-hmm. than we have and not have to endure so much. So I just want to bring awareness, you know, and encourage and empower.
Wow. That's good stuff. Seriously.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Also, in which, you know, as we're talking about, you know, creating awareness and making people, you know, feel like their stories need to be told. Mm-hmm. How did you feel, or what could you tell the listeners about the importance of having faith or staying afloat, especially at a time like this, you know, with COVID-19 and just all the stuff that is going on in the media? Because now it's not COVID-19 anymore. Well, it is, but now we got some like underlying racism or like hateful acts that's going on, and it's just a lot.
There's so much going on. And you know, when I look at that, I'm just like, we have to have faith in God, mm-hmm. faith in ourselves, and stand tall in what we know to be our truth. And I would definitely say, you know, faith plays a huge role in terms of getting to where you're wanting to go. You know, even looking at mm-hmm. this pandemic, you know, we could say that, hey, this pandemic has occurred. And we all know there was a lot of people who, I'm going to tell you the difference between a person who has faith in themselves and a person who doesn't. We look at this pandemic and we had a lot of people who said, hey, I want to write a book. Hey, I want to shoot a film. I want to write a script. I want to get closer to God. People who have faith in themselves, regardless of what's going on the outside, mm-hmm. you're able to hone in and know that I'm going to be all right. And so mm-hmm. you don't really deter your dreams or whatever, or you don't, you know, stop doing what you're doing because of what's going on around you. I think when you have faith, it gives you that boldness. It gives you that fearlessness that you need in order to keep pushing, even in a time when everyone around you is just kind of stopping or trying to figure mm-hmm. out what's going on. With faith, you don't have to figure that out because you pretty much know where you're going. It's just a matter now. All I have to do is, you know, stay focused, stay productive, and stay safe. So that's how my faith pretty much empowers me.
Yes. Now, that is a word. Especially what you mentioned about faith, because of a lot of young people, oftentimes, I know I saw a lot on my timeline, you know, people just was like, well, I'm unemployed, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And then you have some people on the flip side that are like, okay, I know I'm unemployed, I'm getting unemployment, I'm getting a stimulus check, I've got all this mm-hmm. stuff, but you know what? I'm going to go on and birth my business. I'm going to go on and birth, you know, whatever I didn't have time to do because I was working all day mm-hmm. and, or, you know, even individuals that were in school, you know, now that they're kind of doing the distance learning, they were like, I didn't have time mm-hmm. to do a lot of this stuff. Even if it was just a rest, they got that time to rest, to kind of get themselves back together and to get back
focused. Yes.
So it's kind of, this situation is tough, it's hard, it haven't been easy, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like you said, you still have to kind of see the path.
You have to.
You got to see the silver lining of the situation. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, that's the thing, like, stuff is going to happen. It's not going to always mm-hmm. feel good or be good, but I believe that it's all going to work out for our good. So if God mm-hmm. gives us a time, he gives us 60 days so far, 2 months where the world has been mm-hmm. shut down, where we had no excuses but to do all of the things that we said we wanted to make time for, whether it was time, making time for our fitness, making time to spend time with the family. You know, true intentions will always come out mm-hmm. and show in our actions. So, you know, it's like, oh, I'm sitting at home and I could prepare all of my meals and all healthy meals, but yet I still want to make an excuse, or I don't really have time. What is the excuse? So it's like, sometimes I get convinced that sometimes we say that we want stuff, but we're really not willing to sacrifice to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And then, too, I think is that drive. Like, it's the whole idea of, because it's in the mind. All this is
in the mind. It's in the mind. You cannot motivate someone past their own mindset.
That's true. Yeah. They have to be ready.
Have to be ready. And we're all fighting the same battles every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's going to win is the one you feed the most. Whether feeding mm-hmm. the fear of what could happen and I don't want to do anything, or I'm feeding the positivity and the belief that something great is going to happen. One of them is going to happen. Either way, it's going to be mm-hmm. what we experience.
That's true. That is true. Or the famous phrase, you know, every reaction, you know, it's going to be good or bad. Like, every situation is good yes. or bad. So,
and it's all about how you react to it. All about your mindset, how you bounce back. You know, we have almost 8 million people in the world, and then we can all say that every last one of them, well, maybe not every last one, majority of them, if not every last one of them, have all gone through some type of traumatic event. It doesn't have to be as bad as mm-hmm. some people. But the thing is, what will we let stop us and what will we allow to push us? You know, people can mm-hmm. take fear and let it halt them, or people can take fear and let it drive them.
Yes. Yes, and I'm hoping that, you know, people are taking this time to just kind of, even if it's to journal mm-hmm. every day. Hey, okay, this is day whatever. You know, I know this has kind of been hard on me, mm-hmm. but hey, I decided to do something new. I've even seen people that they started a new hobby, like a completely new hobby that they just never thought of.
And that's the amazing part. That's the beauty in it. And then it's so ironic how God would allow this to happen so that we would have to turn into ourselves. Now we can't rely on, hey, I got to go out and do something. God took away mm-hmm. a lot of the distractions. Now we're sitting here and forced to deal with the issues that we've been like sweeping under the rug. You know, you look at couples who are mm-hmm. now not able to live in a home together, where there were always mm-hmm. already some type of little issue that maybe was being pushed under the rug. And now, since you're sitting there forced to deal with that person, now it's like, oh gosh, I really don't even know if I like this person. But that's because we've been ignoring each other and people for so long to now it's mm-hmm. like we're forced to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And people who can't deal, you know, a lot of times we can't deal with the loneliness. There's a lot of people who feel alone during this time. And that also mm-hmm. reveals something. You know, maybe there's, you know, we're missing God somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot of things that's being revealed. Somebody who's sitting at home have gained the 15 pounds or the 20 pounds is revealing that, hey, maybe I have a problem with discipline in this particular area. So mm-hmm. it's all just revealing to us exactly where we are, not to stop us, but actually to help us so that we can move forward. Because think about when we talk about the finances, a lot of people, we've been forced to deal with a lot less because clients may be counseling and all of this different stuff. But mm-hmm. then you realize, hey, I'm making everything meet. I'm still having extra. You know, it's like, it actually helps you to keep account and be able to know exactly where you are.
Mm-hmm. And then, too, a lot of businesses in which is showing, I guess, when you look at, like, the bigger, like, companies, They're starting to go out of business. Like, they're filing bankruptcy. They're basically laying off all of their employees and just, you know, the things that they said they'd never do. Even deciding to send employees home to work from home. So you mean to tell me that this happens and now people can really work from home?
Right. Like, we've been having to, like, kill the ozone layer for so long. Everybody driving, getting up. And now you realize where there's a will, there's a way. That's, yeah, I'm with you on that. That's like, it amazes me. It takes this type of event to help us realize that.
And another thing we can look at as well is how, like, especially dealing with education, you know, so now you're telling me basically K through all the way up to a PhD can really be taught at home.
Go figure.
That you and classes are free, like college, they some credit, some non-credit, at big prestigious schools like I think it was Harvard was teaching
classes. Wow, I didn't even hear about that.
They have some online like courses, and now I think Ole Miss has some online courses, and they're like customer service courses and how to promote your business online and things like that. And I'm like, wow, all this time people were, you know, breaking their neck to get up to the schools.
I mean, and now now you're telling me something is free. It's actually a such thing as free. Wow.
It's very interesting now. I mean, a lot of certifications, like food, like certain state certifications that make the person $100 or so. Wow. It's free. So it's very, very interesting right now. And I get it. I guess because of the urgency and what's going on, and it's kind of like things were already, as far as like education is concerned, especially in the state of Mississippi where there's teacher shortages, and mainly comes from, you know, college students not being able to pass the praxis. Just gonna throw it out there, they're not able to pass the praxis. A lot of them end up on an emergency license. The school is requesting for them to take the praxis again in order to be licensed. So, you know, hey, it was like, okay, we're just going to do away with licenses right now. You can just sign up. And prayers that it helps the, you know, with the shortage of teachers. So it's kind of like, again, like you said, just
there's a way. But that's a great thing. I'm glad to hear that, because a lot of those tests that they put in place are just really meant to keep certain people from advancing. Because I know some people who would have been phenomenal teachers who took the practice 2, 3, 4 times and still couldn't pass it, but they had compassion for children and compassion to want to teach. They never became teachers. So that's good to know that those people will be able to step foot, maybe not step foot physically in a classroom right now, but, you know, be able to share that knowledge.
Yeah. And I guess it's just something, like you said, just those things that would stop people, even with the, if there are any parents of high schoolers, or if you are planning to go back to college, they even took away the ACT and the SAT scores this year to get into college, as well as the GRE scores to get into graduate school, which, again, I mean, nothing's wrong with testing. I get it. I get standardized testing. But those were a lot of strong things that stopped people from really advancing. So, like you said, if it took something like this to really open the doors for opportunities for people to really advance, I don't know who... I mean, I don't know what... I don't think man could create something.
Men wouldn't create anything like this. You know? I wouldn't say that this thing, but that man wouldn't create this opportunity. Yeah, but definitely, I believe God would create something good, even out of something as devastating as what we're going through.
Yes. Yes. So it's very, I don't know. It, now that we're kind of putting it like this, this is kind of one of those moments where you do have to kind of just sit back and kind of look at, okay, some people always say I'm not where I want to mm-hmm. be in life. Well, we kind of at yeah. the moment now. Hey,
not where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you could be, because yeah, somebody absolutely. Didn't get up. So it's always good to be on the land mm-hmm. of the living. I will say that.
Yes, yes, and having all our right mind,
because Lord knows there's some stuff going on, and that some people have experienced. It broke down somebody. Somebody is still able to mm-hmm. thrive despite of.
Yes. Because this is a lot. It's kind of like on one side, you do have a lot mm-hmm. of great things happening. The media is trying to cover those things. But then on the flip side, it's like you have so right. much other things that we kind of, I guess, we didn't, I think I can't wrap my mind around the two incidents that happened last week of how we're dealing with a mm-hmm. major pandemic right now, but we still have
and hate.
Racism and hatred you know, going on.
I listened to a sermon this weekend, and it was about a pandemic in the midst of a pandemic. How racism mm. is still a pandemic because it's killed more minorities and African Americans than the coronavirus and the flu, you know, probably mixed together. And that was such a great mm. message that was from the church that I attend when I'm in Pittsburgh, the Macedonia Church mm-hmm. of Pittsburgh. So, hey, that was a great message, because it's definitely in the midst of everything that's going on, the fact that we still have to not only fear for our lives, going to the store and being close to somebody within 5-6, you know, feet, but now we can't mm-hmm. even go to get exercise when we can't go to the gym, still because of the color of our skin, and going into a neighborhood where we're not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just heartening. It's heartbreaking.
It is. It really, really is. I mean, I don't know. Prayers to his family, you know, because it's, and just every mm-hmm. person of color, because it's, I mean, that could have easily been anyone, male, female, child, or, you mm-hmm. know, little girl or little boy. Just because the color that's so of their sad. Skin.
Just because of the color of the skin. And it's like when you cut us all open, we all look just alike. We all bleed the same mm-hmm. blood, but yet we still go by that's on the exterior. It's sad. And then when you yes. look into our communities and you see that a lot of times we still commit so many crimes against ourselves too, in addition to other people committing mm-hmm. crimes on us. God, can we get a break? Can we get a break from ourselves? We get a break mm-hmm. from other people killing us? Can we just get a break where mm-hmm. we can be unified as one and just let love conquer all?
Yes. Just a little bit of love.
Goes a long way.
It does. It does. Because it's, I don't know, like, because we kind of mentioned it last week about just being selfless. Not selfish, but selfless. Just caring about others, helping others, you know. It, of course, and to be honest, I really don't get, like, a lot of the crimes that's us against ourselves a lot of times, in some cases, because it seems as though, you know, it's the, I guess the mindset of mm-hmm. they have more than what I have. Well, right now, nobody yeah,
exactly.
has more than
it doesn't
the
matter
other
how much money they have now. Like, everybody's being treated pretty much the same. Like, you going to come to the doctor. We all are in need of God's mercy and grace. It's just sad.
Like literally, we're all. I mean, if this is not a testimony for somebody or everybody, really, we're all literally on the same page.
But here's the thing: what are we doing with our time? Your greatest resource that you will ever have, that you will never be able to get back, is your time. What are we doing with our time? Somebody has decided to lay back and binge as much TV as they can, and that somehow overshadowed the goals and the visions that they already had planned for their life. So how important was the goal? Was that TV show, that TV series that took 13, 14, 16 hours of the day, you know, and the things that we watch, the things we condition ourselves to. Sometimes I just look and I'm just like, my God. But that's what we're conditioning ourselves to. And it kind of, when I think about the generations underneath us, I think about young girls who now feel the only time that they are beautiful is when they wear a face full of makeup. It's like, what are we conditioning our children and the next generation to? We have people who are not accepting of themselves, of who God has created them to be. And then we have people who don't even remember who they are or what they even look like because we're so busy with all of this new exterior stuff that the world makes us think is making us a better person. But all it's doing is just covering up who we are inside. It is what it is.
Yes, we might have to bring you on for another episode that one.
Whole story right
there. Because, yes, that is a whole episode. I've been trying to, especially a lot of the youth, to understand that reality TV is not reality.
It's not. And it's so scripted and it's so fake. And people are loving it because it's drama. And they're thinking they can see themselves, but all it's doing is diminishing our character, diminishing us as a people. And it's not empowering or uplifting us at all. And then this is what kids look at. Two women fighting over a man. Two women that are not accepting of their own facial features, their own hair, their own body shapes or whatever. It's teaching us that we all got to look just alike. So when I look out and I go places, I'm like, dog, like, we all got the same weave. We all got the same. I'm like, what happened to uniqueness? I think some kind of way we lost that. The value of uniqueness started to decline when reality TV and all of this other fake, you know, low-grade entertainment started to increase. It's just a bad situation.
Yes. And it's hard to teach the behavior. Have to go back to, you know, when you try to unteach or try to unlearn this particular behavior, it's going to be so many different age groups that you'll have to explain it to. Because, of course, you got your kids and you're trying to teach your kids, like, okay, this is not real.
This is not real.
Okay.
But,
you know, so it's like trying to explain it to them and then trying to explain it to their older brothers, sisters, cousins, and then their aunts and their moms and their dads. It's like it's so many people that's being affected by a lot of it.
And you know, it's interesting. I blame I blame us because we're not reaching back to those people who are, say, 5, 10 years younger than us and trying to guide them. I mean, I think once, and this is probably off topic, but once 50-year-olds started acting like 30-year-olds and 30-year-olds started acting like 20-year-olds, well, 20-year-olds then had no other choice but to start acting like 13 and 15-year-olds. So it's like, now we all saying, you know, you only live once, and hey, you know, sometimes I just cringe when I go down my timeline and I see 40, almost 50-year-olds acting like 20-year-olds. And not that, not, there's nothing wrong with living life, but I think we still have to have a sense of integrity and a sense of respect for ourselves, so that people, and when people get of a certain age, they'll kind of have something to look forward to. You know, when I was young and I saw kids that were in high school and in college, I was like, ooh, I can't wait till I get in high school and college. But then when you see some of the mindsets that keep going on up there, it's like, oh, we in high school and we in college, but yet a lot of us are still acting like we were when we were in junior high. So it's like, I don't know. Don't get me started on that subject.
Yeah, it's you're about right on that. I really don't watch like a lot of the reality TV anymore, just period. And I think it really came from when I was in school, because my background is counseling, and I would just kind of pay attention to a lot of the behaviors. And then I had an opportunity to hear a lady who said she's worked with a lot of the people on reality TV, and she mentioned about how a lot of them had a lot of addictive behaviors to drugs and alcohol, and, you know, just them acting that they do because of, you know, they're getting paid. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this. This is crazy. I'm not going to feel my brain or, you know, feed myself spiritually of something like this. I'm just not. And I think when people begin to realize that, you know, you're still feeding yourself when you're watching a lot of this stuff. You're feeding yourself. God, you're feeding your spirit.
You definitely have to protect and guide your spirit. Because, yes.
Yes. So it's like, what? And then, you know, if you're getting on social media, you're still feeding. You're feeding it. You're just feeding it with your eyes this time. It's like everything, you have to filter. You have to filter that. You don't, you know, people always talk about, I only want positive vibes. I don't want negativity. Well, you may have to delete some of those negative people. You may have to delete some of those negative social media pages, or kind of quit watching some, you know, television shows that you think you enjoy watching. You might have to cut those.
I'm telling you, that weight is the most heaviest weight you can carry around. You'll never go higher or go to the next level as long as you keep holding on to things that are dead. And when I say dead, I'm meaning things that don't bring life or positivity. I refuse to have any friends, anyone that I communicate with on a daily basis that dead weight. And I'm not saying people who are struggling and to get to where they're going, because I love working with and communicating and encouraging people who are who are trying, but not just trying, they're also doing something. You know, they're trying their best to do with and make do with what they have. Now, dead weight people who only thing they're doing is just calling me or saying about an outfit or hair, some things I just can't identify with certain things. You know, it's like my brain will not allow me to think about wardrobe, hair, makeup. It's like, I'm like, is that all we have to talk about? But I can talk ideas and business all day. That's it. That's all I want to talk about.
Absolutely. And I mean, now you've been dropping some major gems, even though we've kind of, you know, branched off a little bit, which that's typically what happens on my episode. So, but seriously, but, you know, people do need to hear that you, I guess, to make it forward, to move forward in life, that you do have to elevate.
There's elevation.
So, and it's not just cutting off people. Sometimes you gotta just cut off things.
Amen to that, sister.
Yeah, because it mentions it in the Bible as well. Not too good with scriptures, but, you know, and it says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away my childish things. Like, it's, you know, when the elders would say that pretty much everything that happened in the Bible happens in everyday life.
It tells everything that has happened or that could happen. And it talks about the pruning.
Yeah.
Like, God prunes us. He takes away, you know, he's going to take away the dead weeds out of our lives. And sometimes we experience those. Mm-hmm. Now, it's the difference between having a seed that's planted there and is growing amongst some things, because it has to be in the dirt, you know. You got to go through that ugly period to get to where you're going to go and grow and blossom. But once you've grown and blossom, sometimes you have to cut away things that are not bringing light to you, not bringing positivity to you. You only get 24 hours in a day. And the people you put and allow to interact with you on those 24 hours are extremely important.
Yes. You're absolutely right on that. And this conversation is getting so good.
I know.
I'm going to have to, going to take a break. It's okay. We're going to take a little break, and because got to pay some bills, and then we'll be right back to continue this amazing conversation. Okay. And we are back. So, Drika, I kind of want to change up the conversation a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I know we had a really good conversation before. To just discuss the importance of why we should be able, or as we should, tell our stories. So I had did a little bit of research, and you have a virtual show title, I'm Ready to Talk Now. Could you inform the listeners of what it is, and then why is it important to tell your story? And of course,
well, the name of this show is I'm Ready to Talk Now. And the importance of it is basically, it's a show, it's a platform that I would call it, that gives a voice to the victims and survivors, we would say, that have been affected by different traumatic events. You know, the first season, we focused a lot on abuse. And so we had people who were speaking about abuse and different traumatic events there. This season, we're actually talking about behind the closed doors, love and marriage. So we're bringing in married couples, and they're sharing their experience of love and marriage and how they've been able to overcome different things that may have been, you know, going on within relationships. And so last week we had an episode that was dealing with blended families. And then we also had an episode that dealt with marriage and ministry. Couples who, you know, going through, you know, being able to marriage and also being that they're working in ministry together and some of the pitfalls there. So we've been like tackling the whole thing of love and marriage behind closed doors.
Wow. So people really can kind of, I guess, what's the purpose?
Pretty much the platform is to give a voice to those who have been victims and the now survivors who've been affected by different traumatic events. You know, we've had the first season, we dealt with child abuse and sexual abuse. So we had people sharing their testimonies there. This last season, well, this current season, we're actually, you know, delving and we're dealing with love and marriage. So we're talking about couples and marriages, people who've gone through experiences and been able to come through on the other side. You know, last week we dealt with marriage and blended families. So we're really just tackling all of those different issues that plague our communities and that affect our children. And we're trying to bring them to the forefront so that it's no longer, you know, something that can taunt us, you know, as regard to being secrets that we keep, but things that we expose and turn light on.
Yes. So, and which that is great. And I do believe, you know, that this will help someone. You know, even if it's maybe not the victim themselves, but maybe someone that's like in their family that's kind of recognizing some signs, or, you know, just kind of bringing some awareness. So that'll be, you know, this platform is really good, because at a time like this, we do need to kind of cover, or just in general, we do need to cover some major topics, you know, in our household that need kind of, you know, brought up to the forefront. Because culturally, we don't like to talk about some things. We shy away from it. So if we could find some type of way to get it out there in educational purposes or conversational purposes, or just us watching, you know, just saying, okay, I see it, you know, exactly. some reality to what's going on. Let's see. All right. I was saying, that is definitely great. I believe that it'll help others who may be a victim to understand that they are victorious even at a time like this. So their story can encourage others to seek assistance. And by it being Mental Health Awareness Month, what are your thoughts on how people who are looking to tell their story should seek therapy as a way to overcome or to discuss?
That's a great question. I think it's so important for people to tell their stories. You know, when we look at people who've gone through different traumatic events, the thing that keeps coming up in every conversation when I talk to survivors is that they were all stuck until they were able to share their story and speak their testimony. You know, even in the Bible, it says that we overcome by our, you know, testimonies. And I believe that that's true in every aspect, because it's something about not sharing your story or not being able to speak that it leaves you in a place to where you're now not able to forgive. And, you know, life itself is a prison. And so when we're not able to forgive, we're now stuck. And a lot of times we're stuck in the past, and the person or the predator who did this to whomever, whatever it could be, they're already moved on. But the person who endured that, that trauma, they're still stuck at whatever age that that happened in. So it's important for people to share their stories, because a lot of times we as African Americans, we don't realize how important it is to seek counseling. And there's nothing wrong with going to counseling, you know, so that we are able to move forward in life. I think in order to go forward, sometimes we have to go back and unpack some things and remove some chains that's still holding us. Yes.
So strongholds, as they say, that's kind of keeping you from pressing on or moving forward. That And that was really something to think about a moment ago when you mentioned about how some people are still stuck. And sometimes it is those chronological ages that they're stuck in, that they haven't, I mean, they could be 26, but at 13, which was 13 years before,
right,
something took place. And they just haven't gotten past that experience.
And then we wonder why so many relationships don't work. We wonder why so many people just can't deal with things that happened in their life, the, you know, the simple stuff. Well, a lot of it goes back to things that they've endured in their past. It doesn't always have to be sexual trauma. It's other things that people are dealing with. A lot of people deal with a feeling of inadequacy. And people deal with so many other things that's on, you know, it's a whole list of things. But we don't know. And then we get with someone and we're trying to figure out why certain things just, why they just keep doing certain things. But it's certain triggers, it's certain things that keep taking that person back. Or maybe that person hasn't shared their testimony or overcome. So they keep repeating this bad movie over and over. And no matter who they meet, they're handing that same bad script to somebody. And nobody knows, but they're still acting the same way as this same character. And next thing you know, it's a bad movie on repeat.
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, because, you know, people are trying to understand now, or they're coming to some type of understanding. Two famous things people always mention. One is about the family structure. A lot of times people are talking about generational curses and breaking up pains and everything, but sometimes some things aren't always just generational. Something is just maybe just the things that you've gone through as an individual, you know, like you said a minute ago. Sometimes some people overcompensate,
right?
Or undercompensate. They, you know, they've gone through something and they're like you said, this bad script. So they just gonna, you know, well, this is my safety net. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm gonna do when I get upset. But this is what I'm going to do when I feel like you're not listening or you're not, because I do see this in a lot of TV shows too, and as well as in life. The signs are there, but the minute that something happens, it just don't work out too
speak,
well.
Sister.
I'm going to go speak to where I'm comfortable. So, you know, it happens. We're creatures of habit, so it happens. So you're so right. And sometimes seeking out a therapist, they can kind of help you with that, even if it's communication issues or just trying to figure things out on your own, interpersonal things, or even if it is relational, dealing with your family or relationships, because like I said, that the whole generational curses is one thing people pick up, and then the other one is soul ties.
And that's deep, the soul tie. Yeah. You know, you have those sexual soul ties, you have those spiritual soul ties. I mean, you just have where you're connected with people who should have been let go of, but some kind of way, especially with the sexual soul ties. It's crazy. If only we could see the spirits of everyone, you know, before all that happens. I'm telling you.
Yeah. So it's those are two phrases people use often, and as well as negative vibes and stuff, of course. But seeking out therapy and talking to a therapist, and also having of some type of spiritual background, spiritual being in your life, you probably wouldn't need a lot of outside things that we typically kind of find comfort in. Because even at a time like COVID-19, on one side, we saw a lot of people feeling a little bit empty, but what they'll fill their void with is a whole bunch of stuff that they probably don't need. So it is pretty interesting. And I know we mentioned a little bit of it earlier with COVID-19, but I guess because now we're talking about mental health, I'm thinking about that, you know, therapists are going to have a lot of work.
Like when we think about all of the people who mm-hmm. are stuck in homes, who can't get away from things, people who are just dealing with the effects of COVID-19. And then my heart goes out to those little kids, you know, who they did have an outlet to get away and maybe go to school, get a meal. But now they're trapped in a home somewhere where that person who's been beating them, abusing mm-hmm. them, is doing it constantly. And now my heart just goes out, girl. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about it. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough reality of what's going on. And I think that's the part that everybody kind of forget, along with the whole ordeal that every day, I don't know why I thought about it like that in the beginning, but it kind of began to feel like it. The movie, The Hunger
Games. Oh, yeah.
How it always was a siren and you knew somebody died. It's like every day we find out a death toll of how many people away.
It's extremely depressing.
A little bit depressing for some. But yes. So it's kind of like, it's just a re-traumatization every day. Every single day is something. So I'm hoping that, you know, people are taking the time out to kind of, they can't, you know, whatever the funds or maybe their insurance and things like that, they're not able to kind of get the, you know, seek a therapist right now, but just trying to work on themselves at this time, to try to like remove themselves from some things or taking a break from some things.
Yes,
would very, very be helpful. So hey, I'm hoping that, like, through all of this, I'm hoping that everything, of course,
it's the new normal.
It's a real new normal, definitely, but
a new normal. Because, I mean, instead of a lot of people, of course, want to sit back and wait and see what it's going to do. I say, you know, I'm not one that's saying, oh, yeah, let's everybody get back out in the streets and all this. No, by any means, that's not what I'm saying. But I think it's some things, instead of us trying to wait and see how it's going, you know, when they're going to open back up the gym or when they're going to do this, I think it's time for us to figure out how do we adapt in the midst of the pandemic. What can I do at home to substitute of what I was doing there? You know, what are some of the small things that we can do? Okay, maybe I'm a person who I'm out and eating all the time. Maybe every now and then now I should find a way to get a special dish, cook it up, and make that environment in my own home. You know, or if I loved going to the gym, maybe now I have to figure out how can I take some of the things I already have at home and try to keep as much of a routine as I can as possible. Because when everything around you is changing, you have to have something that almost remains fixed in order just to keep your center. So I think it's important for us to try to find a way to keep center by keeping some of our routines, as many of them as we can, you know. I think that's going to help us out.
Absolutely. And I'm really hoping that, you know, things will kind of pull together in some way. In some But like you said, you have to make a new, you have to make this a new normal in some type of way to make it.
Yeah, because other than that, you could easily lose yourself in it.
Yes. And like you said, you don't want to kind of lose focus of where you're going. And I'm hoping that the listeners continuously hear that throughout this entire episode that you just can't.
It's 2020. Focus. And despite what's going on, 2020 still means we have to stay toward our vision, stay focused.
Yes. So, because we are leading up to the final part of our show, but I do want to allow your opportunity to pretty much, you know, if you could give the listeners at least like 3 to 5 of your, or more, or if you like, of just a way for creatives, because I know a lot of people are birthing a lot of projects, so they want to do a lot of things, especially like with the media. They, you know, heard things about you and things you've done or working on. You know, how could they themselves begin to, you know, be a storyteller by maybe writing or producing?
I say right now, there's never been a better time than to create. Everyone is looking for content. You know, we're in the midst of a pandemic and studios are finding it hard to figure out how they're going to be able to produce content and stay within the CDC guidelines. So guess what? That means there's going to be a lot more opportunities for independent filmmakers to create content. They're going to need small crews. And for someone that's just starting out, I would definitely say you have everything you need. Everything is at your fingertips. That cell phone that you're holding in your hand to maybe listen to this podcast. That cell phone is a camera also. You know, it's not like how it was when I started off where everything was analog. We had to have film cameras with the 16 millimeter. You had to take it into the black room. You had to send it off. A 12 minute roll of film was $500. And then you had to pay processing fees on top of that. And then you had to pay for the audio tape that you would then take and have to manually sync. Things now, everything is non-linear. So I say this, creatives, people who are creatives. Creatives are going to create. So people who are true creatives, regardless of what's going on, they're going to find a way to create. People who are at home with quarantining with you, you can utilize those people. Those are your actors. They're sitting at home. People need something to do. Instead of taking all that time watching, you know, TV shows that others have created, take some time and invest in creating your own. You know, creating is all about the more you do it, the better you become at it. You have to take the craft serious and always be a learner. You know, like I said, I've been doing it for years, but I'm always still learning. Every day I'm listening to some type of masterclass. I'm listening to some type of book. I'm reading on some type of new equipment. I'm always learning. There's no such thing as a person that knows it all in a business that's always changing. Technology is always changing. People who mastered film later had to turn around and relearn digital. The concepts and the principles are always basically the same, but there's always learning. So I say learn the principles, learn the theories. Then that way, regardless of what the technology does, you still know the basics. You know, people say, oh, I'm just trying to do it my way because I want to do something different. That's fine. But always learn the basic rules so you will know how to break them. That's my thing. Start a docu series. There's nothing wrong with starting a video montage of yourself. You know, you can sit there and just tell about your quarantine story if you have no one else to share it with. You can turn the camera on yourself. Most cameras have a front and a back camera. So create. Get out there and create something. There's no right or wrong way to create.
Yes. Yes. I think, too, one of the things that I thought about, the people, I know a lot of female entrepreneurs think about, even though we talk about being creatives, they mention about Madam C.J. Walker.
Yes.
Birthing her business, doing blue. So if at a time like the Spanish flu, which is somewhat, it was a pandemic, and people were unsure what was going on.
Wow.
She birthed a hair company. So if she could have, if she so many years ago created a hair company at a time where people was
and their out medical sick with stuff Spanish was flu, not as nearly advanced what we have now.
Exactly. So if she could persevere, it's gonna be more than Madam CJ. It's gonna be Mr. Madam.
Child, exactly. Exactly. So, all I say is use your time wisely.
And
use your time wisely.
Yes. Yes. Well, we have reached the end of this episode, and I
have enjoyed talking to you
every second of it. Thank you. So, Ms. Drica, could you give everyone your social media handles or your website or anything that you have going on that you would like for them to know about? And also, I will put all of this information in the show notes so that they can follow you and support your projects.
They can definitely follow me personally at Drica Siavon. That's DrekaShevon. Drica Siavon. Primestone Media is definitely my company where we create all of our commercials, and as well as Primestone Entertainment. And one of the new things that we're definitely excited about is the Primestone Kids, where we are, you know, looking and scouting for young, fresh talent, kids between the ages of, you know, like 4 to 12. And once this thing is over with, we definitely plan to create some content specifically for the kids. You know, with us, it's all about, you know, creating content where the whole family can be able to watch, you know, but also bringing awareness. So that's what they could definitely expect from Primestone Entertainment, is, you know, definitely some new, fresh material where the whole family can sit down and watch, but also that content that will be, you know, raw, that brings awareness to issues.
Yes.
Thank
you. And that's awesome with the kids. Because, you know, you're welcome. Because I think people are really starting to value outside of Kids Say the Darnest Things, like, they are really starting to value our youth and notice that they can be creatives.
Yes. I'm telling you, so much talent. Like, definitely go on and subscribe to our Primestone Kids channel. We definitely, the whole thing there is educating the kids as well as entertaining and empowering the kids.
It's awesome. Right.
Thank you.
Really awesome. You're welcome. Well, as for me, One, Community Builders, which is the nonprofit that I co-found. The last week episode had Miss Melody, which was the one of the other co-founders of the organization. On Friday, hosting a Pink Lemonade virtual forum. That's going to be on both our, it's going to be in our private Facebook platform as well as on Zoom. So I'll put in the show notes the link for parents and youth or just basically anyone that would like to join us on this virtual forum that they can actually sign up. We're going to talk about different topics, mainly some of the things we kind of talked about today as far as like mental health awareness, education, self-esteem, drug use. I think we'll talk about a host of a lot of things. It's the organization decided instead of bringing in speakers, which we love to do, we decided to kind of talk of our own expertise. So we want to, you know, make it very, I guess, conversational. We got different youth groups that's going to be joining us. So we would love to have anyone that would like that, you know, is free on Friday at 7 o'clock to join us on Zoom, either Zoom or Facebook, within our Facebook platform. So I'll put that in the show notes. Also, my boutique, the Crown Closet, which is under Crown by Christy. I'm still looking for queen ambassadors that will join me by being basically brand ambassadors for the company, as well as getting, you know, pageant coaching and just kind of see the exclusive products that the boutique will showcase. If you haven't been kind of following, the Crown Closet is basically a boutique, especially a boutique for pageant girls. So I kind of will have wardrobe for interview, swim, fitness, evening wear, cocktail dresses, shoes, etc., as well as additional beauty services in the future for pageant girls, so that you're not only getting coaching from me, but I kind of want to be a one-stop shop. So this is kind of one of those
manifestations
that I've been thinking about for a while. And thank you. And kind of been praying about. The boutique is up and running, which I put the link to the boutique on in the show notes again for people to go and visit the website. I'm always kind of dropping new items in there from time to time, which I'm working on the swim and fitness line for this summer for a lot of our girls. So you can visit that. But outside of that, I do have the final two episodes of the podcast. I know everybody liked two. Yes, there are two episodes. One is a bonus episode, which I will discuss next week. So
I have
enjoyed this episode with you, Ms.
Thoroughly
Stricker.
Enjoyed our conversation.
Yes. So this is the finale of, well, not finale, but the final part of episode 12 of the Empower Her podcast. Look forward to seeing you guys again for episode 13. Have a good night, Ms. Streeka. And for everyone else, have a good night and continue to subscribe, download the podcast, share with your friends, rate. Just continue to follow the Empower Her podcast.